Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy, Wise podcast, where you will get to listen in on the thought-provoking conversations with countercultural business, financial, and money thought leaders, sharing their wisdom and insights with your host, Christina Wise. Christina Wise is a highly successful serial entrepreneur, real estate investor, best-selling author, millionaire business and money coach, and the founder of the Wealthy, Wealthy brand. Christina has mastered the money game, and now her mission is to help everyone willing to do the work win the money game too. If you are looking to upgrade your financial life, stop worrying about money, and start living the fulfilling life you deserve, strap in, take a deep breath, and get ready to learn. This podcast will change the way you think about business, money, and wealth. Let's get into it.
Welcome back. This is Christina Wise, your host. In this episode, I interview Neil Cannon. Neil is the best-selling author of The Vitality Secret. He's an award-winning health coach, speaker, and he's a podcast host of Mojo Fit. He's best known for helping people reverse illness like diabetes, arthritis, even cancer. His mission is to help people take full control over their health by understanding how the body heals by getting to the source of the disease. We talked about the three parts to healing and the most important healing factor that is completely missed by traditional medicine and dogma. This was a revealing conversation focused around two wellness words, gratitude and awareness. I hope you enjoy. Neil, it is so much fun to be here with you today. Thank you. Where are you calling in from?
Thank you, Christina. It's an honor to be on your podcast. I'm actually calling in from Jericoacoara in Brazil. It's on the north coast of Brazil. It's a kite surfing destination. It's pretty amazing.
Kite surfing. That looks fun. Yes. It's nothing I would probably ever try, but it's fun to watch.
Fun to watch. It's even more fun to do.
I bet. Surfing's in that category. It looks like I have a lot of fun, but I'll leave it to you and some of the other daredevils. Well, I'm really excited about our conversation. And so let's jump right in. And you and I, we met each other a couple years back, and you have a book. And so go ahead and mention the name of your book. And then I'd like to really delve into the inspiration behind why did you write the book?
Sure thing. So the book is called The Vitality Secret, and the subtitle is Defy Disease, Combat Common Illnesses, and Stay Young, The Vitality Secret. So my inspiration behind writing that actually came from, I was actually witnessing my father suffer a stroke unnecessarily. And I just remembered he was diagnosed with this underlying condition a few years prior to it. And I went on this crazy quest to figure out what it was all about. And I realized that the same underlying root cause was behind the eczema from which I'd suffered my entire life. So I was able to get rid of my eczema and realize that the same thing, chronic inflammation, is really the root cause of almost everything. So that's what the book is about. It's about getting to the root cause of almost every illness.
So that's still really the basis of your work, is helping people really land on what is the root cause of whatever disease or health concern that they're experiencing. And what I wanted to talk to you about today is where you've really gone with your work of late, that I believe this to be true because I've had my own experience with it. But it's the idea that really Western medicine doesn't give any credence to or value to, is the idea that we actually can heal ourselves and that our body has so many healing powers. And we're just not aware of that. We've really, whatever we've been taught to believe, is we think we go to the doctor, and if we get the right pill or we get the right prescription or we get the right advice, or they'll tell us what's wrong. And then if we act according to that prescriptive consultation, then that would be the answer. But really where I love where you're going is that there's some truth in there, but we actually have more power to heal ourselves than we're aware of. We've just not been taught that our body has these healing powers. So would you like to talk more about that? Like, one, I guess the first question is I think your work's gone deeper to this point where it's not so much about, I mean, it is the root cause, but underneath that is how do we heal our bodies? So what's the new, like, where have you studied lately that's caused you to go to this next layer of healing beyond just root cause and disease?
I'd like to address the first point first about the doctor's education and prescription medications, if that's okay, because it's a really hot topic. And for me, it was one of the biggest aha moments I ever had when I figured out the root cause of their training, if you will. It's the history of their training. And this is absolutely not to discredit discredit doctors. It's just to understand how their training is. And when I discovered how the training is really predominantly about medication and not about healing the body, that's when I had the biggest aha moment known to man. And it goes back to 1910. Carnegie Rockefeller Medicine, actually. I won't go into it now, but I think that's one of the best things we can ever learn, because we know that drugs are really effective in emergencies. They can get us out of trouble. They can save lives. I know you've had your own experience with them. And my own parents wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for these incredible, powerful medications. It's just that when we use them for common illnesses and chronic diseases, they tend to just mask symptoms and allow us to survive rather than get to the root cause and help the body to heal. So we end up taking these medications, often for some people, often take them for life, thinking that's what they need to do, not realizing that there's an underlying root cause, which is normally chronic inflammation, and it's causing all these different symptoms in the body. And depending on your genetic code, you're going to have a different type of symptom. It might be eczema, it might be asthma, it might be IBS, it might be migraines, it might be type 2 diabetes, or high blood pressure. But the point is, there's all these different symptoms as a result of this underlying root cause. I'm not saying it's the underlying root cause for everything, but it's the underlying root cause of so many things. It's incredible. And when we understand that these symptoms are just trying to communicate something with us rather than go to the doctor and get a drug, I think that's a really powerful thing to know. It's like I heard this quote from the Heal documentary, and something like, our body's, the body's ability to heal is greater than anyone has allowed you to believe. That's one of them. And then the other one is, symptoms are incredibly powerful in waking us up, or the body's beautiful intelligence in waking us up. Sorry, I can't remember the exact quote, but the point, you get the idea. The symptoms are there to show us something. They're to communicate something with us. They're not to just dampen.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. So just to say that again, because that can be a new way of thinking versus, let me get rid of these symptoms as quickly as possible because they're uncomfortable, or, you know, whatever I don't like them. Granted, that's true. But to your point, if we can just take a pause and take a moment, almost appreciate them in a way and say, thank you, body, for giving me these symptoms, because you're telling me something's off. And now I have this information that now maybe I can go and try to get to the cause of this. And so almost a way of gratitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
God is giving us this, saying we're going down a dangerous path here. So I'm giving you some warning signs and some flags. I'm just communicating to you. And I think it would be
exactly
to approach it and say, thank you, body. Okay, I've got some work to do, as opposed to, holy shit, I need to go get something to get rid of these symptoms.
Absolutely. I've actually got a video on eczema on YouTube, which is actually almost got about 300,000 views now. But I call it a gift. Like, eczema is your gift, because it's your body is saying to you, hey, Neil, or whatever your name is, there's something out of balance. It requires some attention. So go and figure it out. See whether the imbalance is. Is it diet? Is it you're not moving enough? Is it stress? Is it other form of toxins? Where are the toxins coming from? Is it something in the gut? It's not normally always gut related. But I love the idea of what you just said. It's like something we should be grateful for. And they really are a gift, because if we don't listen to them and then we mask them with medications, then the chances are that underlying root cause can get worse and worse and worse. And then that can develop into a much more serious illness down the road. So, you know, most forms of cancer, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, or heart attacks and strokes. It all stems from the same thing. So if we listen soon to our body, which is beautifully intelligent and waking us up, then we can actually figure out where the imbalance is and get rid of the symptoms by healing the body rather than just cover them up. I actually view using drugs now for common illnesses and chronic disease in most cases. It's like shooting the messenger. So symptoms are your body's way of going, hey, there's something out of balance. It's like a messenger. And you take a drug, it's like, pow, I don't care, messenger. and it's kind of ignoring the body's intelligence, because it's so powerful. The body is so intelligent. And it's giving us a message. But we've been conditioned. You mentioned something similar earlier. But we've been conditioned to kind of not listen. And we've been conditioned to go to the doctor and get a medication. I got very curious growing up when I had eczema from a very young age. Rate 4 or 5, I was always given steroid creams, which has actually got pigment. I've lost pigmentation in my skin because of the overuse of steroid creams. They help the skin to heal fast, but they also damage the skin in a big way. And it can lead to really serious, something called topical steroid withdrawal symptom, which is when your skin becomes a giant flaky mess. But I was prescribed them. I was prescribed antibiotics. I was prescribed these horrible like creams that contain parabens in them and stuff. Not very good stuff. And I got a bit curious in my teens. I was thinking, why am I always given these things? And then my eczema just comes back. I just thought something didn't add up. So fast forward 20 years later, I've discovered what it's all about. Fast learner.
Right.
No.
Well, yeah. I think that's such a just a powerful way to think. You said a few different things. One is let's be grateful that these communications are a gift.
Yes.
And then two, it's trusting our body's intelligence. So that, and then it's our body's intelligence. But then to go one layer deeper, where we started was that we have some influence over the healing powers, the body's healing powers. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. I've personally helped people reverse all kinds of conditions, things like type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, arthritis, gout, eczema, psoriasis, Parkinson's in one case. That was a total fluke, helping someone reverse type 2 diabetes by addressing chronic inflammation. And that's an awesome side effect of doing it the holistic way. But the body is always healing. Something I saw Greg Braden talk about recently in LA, where I've been fortunate enough to live for like 4.5 years. He said, we are born healing. The body, when we are born, we are born healing. So it's constantly healing. It's constantly trying to get into a state of balance, into homeostasis. And all we need to do is step out of the way. So we take away the things that are causing harm and we put in things that fuel it. So that if we just think of it as it's always trying to heal, so allow it to. And I see it as like a three-pronged machine, really. I see it as the three prongs used to be nutrition, lifestyle, and managing emotions, so psychology. So what we put in our bodies, how we move, and how we manage emotions. But, you know, there's also other toxins in the environment. There's also sorts of toxins that we need to be aware of. Toxins in the food supply, toxins in the air, the water, the drugs that we take, you know, they're all toxins. So we need to be aware of where the toxins come from. I mean, all the pesticides and herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, all those things that are covered, all the vegetables are covered in, they're toxins. So we just need to be aware of where the toxins are coming from that might be throwing the body out of balance. The modern hybridized wheat grains, I think you're fully familiar with, causing a lot of problem in the gut. But so that's just an example of understanding what might be preventing the body from healing. So we take that stuff out and the body heals so fast. It's remarkable how fast it can heal sometimes. So the emotional thing is huge as well. And something I've really been looking into recently, thanks to the likes of Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza, is the power of the mind-body connection. So it is now proven that the state of our emotions has a direct impact on the health of every cell in our body. Thinking of ourselves as a giant cluster of cells, like 50 trillion odd cells, every one of those behaves like a mini-me, a mini version of you. They all require their own fuels. And the governing body of all these cells is the brain, is the mind, really. So how we manage our emotions, stress, for example, or rather how we perceive our external environment, that's something else I learned recently about what stress really is. It's like it's actually an internal response to external strains. So it's our perception that can cause the internal reaction. It's not actually the external environment itself. An easy example of this is two people could be faced with the same external circumstance. One person can be totally chilled out and relaxed. The other person goes crazy. So it's really our own internal response to these external strains that causes potential harm on the body. And maybe that's a good segue to talk about pain, because I went for a massage earlier this week, and I was reminded about the mind-body connection, because when we get knots in our back, it's like It's showing you when you're tense, when you're stressed, because when you're stressed, the DNA actually tightens up. And that's just a very obvious example of the mind-body connection. So there's lots of things that we can do to strengthen the immune system and trigger healing. And one of the main things is by managing our emotions, really thinking about the quality of our emotions every day, because we can actually trigger healing by changing our emotions. Whereas if we're chronically stressed all the time, then we're triggering all the stress hormones, and it causes immune system suppression, all sorts of problems in physical pain, like fibromyalgia and chronic pain. But then on the flip side, when we're in a really high state of love and joy and peace and gratitude, appreciation, high vibrational emotions, we can actually trigger amazing things in the body, like healing effects. And there's even something called the honeymoon effect with Bruce Lipton. Have you heard of this? Yeah. It's amazing. They've proven that newly wed couples, or couples that are newly together and they're head over heels in love with each other and having lots of fun together, their immune systems are really strong because they're secreting all these love hormones and healing hormones. And it's amazing what the body can do when it's in that high vibrational state. And there's also the power of belief as well.
So back in, I think it was maybe June, and I actually got shingles of all things. And it really threw me back a little bit, because I thought, you know, I eat well, I exercise, I take care of myself for the most part. And all of a sudden I got shingles, and shingles was brutal.
Ouch.
And it was really brutal. And at first, you know, I was like, what the hell? I mean, I just was mad about it almost. But then I realized my body was giving me some signals, and I was ignoring those. And the signals that get stronger, the feedback gets louder with our bodies. We're not paying attention. And I wasn't paying attention, because I was in my own head and in my own story. And my body's saying, Christina, things aren't, you know, you need to take a look at things here. And shingles, like I said, I would have rather listened to the messages earlier on, because it was so painful and it really took a toll. But then when I went back and looked at it, I realized, oh my gosh, I've got to manage my stress. I've just been in such the stressful. Now, granted, it was situational, going through a divorce and just my dad dying and some life experiences that, you know, I thought I more or less sailed through the best that I could. But I was actually far more stressed, and I was internalizing those things, and I wasn't talking about them, and they were building. And it was just, again, that warning sign, or that signal, or that communication that says, you've got to take a look at things. You've got to slow down. You've got to take a breath. You've got to really look at these emotions. Like, where are you? What's causing all the stress? There's serious emotional energy underneath there. So I actually went to that point. I was like, what is this emotional? What is the emotions underneath? Not when you say like the source, it's, yeah, there's a source, bad nutrition. There's maybe not enough exercise. There's not sleep. There's these typical things that we've been, you know, sometimes taught to look at, but I did the same thing. I realized I'm taking care of all those things. So why am I getting such a loud communication from my body? And when I looked underneath what was most obvious, nutrition, exercise, massage, you know, some of these self-care things, I realized it's my emotions, like the state of my emotions, the fear, the sadness, some anger, like these real feeling betrayed, you know, these real feelings that were underneath. It wasn't my normal feelings. My normal feelings, I'm very positive and joyful and happy and laughing. But this life experience, this situational time I was in with all these things happening at the same time, that's where I landed, was I need to go take care of my emotions. I need to go talk to someone. I need to journal. I need to really work through these things. And I believe that was the cause of my shingles, not these other things that we tend to. That makes sense.
Totally. I totally get where you're at with that one. Yeah. It's huge. I don't think we understand how much our emotions have an effect on the body. I actually read a book called The Emotion Code recently with Dr. Bradley Nelson, I think it is. And it's all about how trapped emotions, the root cause of just about every physical imbalance there is. It's like literally bubbles of emotion trapped. And it can be in muscle, it can be in organs, it can be everywhere. But there's things that we often don't release. I learned from a good friend of mine who healed her own chronic pain as well about trauma release exercise. and how we store trauma in the body. And then I looked more into this, and it's amazing how we store trauma. So if we're not dealing with stuff from the past, that is enough to kind of create the building ground for a chronic inflammation to build, for example. So if we don't release that consciously, then it can lead to stuff. And if, like you just mentioned, if you're just stressed a lot and you're constantly working and not really paying attention to your body, it's going to quickly say something to you.
Yeah. That's what we talked about. Why I was really excited about our conversation today is, you know, it's all about the keto diet, and that's great. The keto diet is a, it can be a really healthy diet. And, you know, what people are talking about out there, these different conversations about being healthier. Yes. And there's also this emotional component. Both you and I have been studying Joe Dispenza, but it's really looking again underneath that is that's, those are great, but there's more to the story. And when I had my first break and was so sick in 2013, that complete breakdown, which was mind, body, and spirit break all at the same time, that was my own experience of trauma. That trauma, the unreleased trauma, finally just reared its ugly head, and I had to go deal with that. And when I look at the shingles, and that was all emotional. It was really an emotional break that finally broke everything, combined with physical and these other things. But this emotional piece is so real, and I don't believe it's understood. We're not looking at it as a source of disease or symptoms of something of disease to come. And then again, when I had shingles, I looked at it and it's like, here's that emotional piece again, you know? So that's why I wanted to really look at this, and for the listeners to, and we're in such chronic stress these days, and stress is fear. It's fear-based, and it's the low vibrational type feelings and emotions. And it's all out of fear, versus what you were saying is that the body has these beautiful, powerful, intelligent ways to heal when we feel joy and gratitude and love. And so it's this love fear thing. So
absolutely.
So is that what you're saying? Like, you know, we're so trapped over here in these really stressful environments, stressful lives, and emotional distress. Like emotionally, we don't feel safe. Our bodies don't feel safe. And that if we can look at the emotional part and really work towards what are some things that might bring, not to get rid of stress so much when you do that, but it's how to replace maybe things that are stress with, how can I feel more love? What situations can I put myself in where I feel more gratitude? How can I change my daily life in a way that there are things that I can replace some of the stress with more joy? Would you think that that's a big foundational part of the work, of the healing process?
Totally, totally. I've come to the realization that we could be living the most healthy diet known to man, like plant-based or paleo or anti-inflammatory diet known to man. We could be exercising every day. But if we're chronically stressed, that's enough to kind of completely override everything else that we're doing. So where I used to be purely focused on nutrition and fitness, a lot of the work that I do now with people is really talk about the emotional side of things, because that's where the, what's the word I'm looking for? The X factor comes in, as it were. There's so much change that can be made when we really look into our emotions. And then we can really start to reframe things, because a lot of you touched on fear earlier, because, and that's basically what stress is. We probably heard the acronym false evidence appearing real. There's lots of things that we make up subconsciously in our mind about a future event that might happen. And it's like we've already made it up in our head. And there's so much emotional intelligence that we can learn about that most of us won't ever learn about unless you go and do some crazy transformational work that I've been fortunate enough to do over the years. But we can reframe so much stuff to take away the suffering. We can create new meaning for things. We can experience the emotion. They're there for a reason. They're our guidance system. If we listen to our emotions and we act on them, that's why they're there. It's like to show us if we're on path or not, you know, spiritually speaking. And then we can listen to those, and then we can start to really look at what is causing us stress and can we change it? And if we can't change it, then change, do something else. But, you know, talking about appreciation and gratitude, as you mentioned earlier, I start off every day in that state. and I go to bed with a gratitude journal. I write what was amazing in my day that. And then I wake up and I often write a book in my book of positive aspects. I want to be doing this every single day. And I'm not consistent enough right now, but it completely shifts your vibration when you get into a deep state of gratitude, appreciation, love, care. It completely shifts your outlook, because everything else that causes stress is dwarfed when you realize how much that we have to be grateful for every day. Just 5 minutes, just 10 minutes of doing that can completely shift our outlook. And it's obviously a lot easier said than done. I'm in Brazil right now, but I was doing this in London in the coldest winter known to man. It was Baltic last year, and I was doing this every single morning. I was being present and just really thinking about everything I had to be grateful for every single day. And it shifts the immune system and everything. It shifts state of mind, and there's heart brain harmony. I'm giving you a lot of probably overloading information now, but have you heard of heart brain harmony?
No.
This is pretty amazing. So we have a little brain in our heart. It's they found this out in 1991 in Montreal. It's got 40,000 sensory neurites. What that means is, in layman's terms, is brain-like cells in our heart. And they've also found out that the heart contains memory. They've got all these anecdotal stories. I learned this from Greg Braden, actually, a brilliant man. And they've got all these anecdotal stories coming forward of people receiving a heart from a deceased person, obviously with their permission. And they receive these new memories because of the heart. They get new addictions, new personality traits. And this has been documented for decades. But what's really interesting is that the head brain connects with the heart brain, and the heart brain connects with the head brain. In fact, we have gut brain as well, but I'll just focus on the heart for now. There's communication all the time between the two. And if we're in a state of stress or anxiety or depression or any negative emotion, we have no coherence. Like if you imagine a graph on a coherence scale, like the quality of the communication between the two, it's like a jagged line. There's no coherence. Whereas if you're in a state of gratitude, appreciation, love, compassion, those four emotions, the Institute of Heart Math have found out are the most powerful ones to get coherence between the heart and the brain. So you get this nice steady line. And it can take just a couple of minutes to get into this state, just a couple of minutes, like a very simple meditation. And what they found is that by doing this, you can actually increase your immune system for up to 6 hours. Which is phenomenal. And you trigger healing in the body. You trigger anti-aging hormones. On the flip side, if there's no coherence, you've got that jagged line, your immune system through the floor. And nothing in the body is working because you're in fight or flight. The body shuts down all the important systems. So it's protecting you in the event of being chased by a tiger, as it were. But the point is, the body is not functioning in a relaxed and calm state if we're chronically stressed. So when we just calm the mind and we focus on those four emotions, amazing stuff happens between the head brain and the heart brain. And one really cool bit of information is 90% of communication goes from the heart to the brain, not from the brain to the heart. Which begs the question, where does the heart get its intelligence from?
Absolutely.
Which is just mind-blowing.
Well, it's interesting. I've heard of heart math, and so coherence, but I didn't really understand what coherence meant. So I'm going to try to repeat this back to see if I understand it correctly. It's coherence between the feedback from one to the other, that things are safe, that things feel good, that the brain and the heart are dancing together in a way, versus when there's a lack of coherence, it's just frenetic energy and it's fear and it's stress and it's chaos and it triggers a fight or flight, maybe more of a fight or flight response. So we want this nice rolling, flowing dance.
Absolutely.
Between the heart and the brain.
I love that analogy you just said. It's like a dance you're doing between the two. I read a book called M-Braining in the summer, and it's actually about the three brains, getting coherence between three brains. They've found just having coherence between these two brains is phenomenally powerful. But I love the idea of that. It's a dance between your two brains, and getting beautiful communication going all the time. Oh, another thing is you can tap into your intuition on demand by doing this. When you do this enough practice every single morning for some time, without having to go through the filtration mechanisms of the brain and the ego and the conditioning of our entire lives, we can get answers very, very quickly from our heart. We've got all these NLP phrases like listen to your heart, follow your heart, what's your heart saying? And there's a reason why we say these things. And we can actually tap into the heart's intelligence when we get this coherence between the two. It's amazing. Like, it really shows how powerful we are as humans when we really look into it. It's incredible. And we are healing machines. Apparently, we're the only species on Earth that can do this thing between the heart and the brain.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so a couple things come to mind in this conversation. One thing is when we're in a situation where we have health issues, it creates more fear. And then we go and we can't find out exactly what's wrong, or we use the steroid creams and the eczema comes back. So it just creates more of a fear response. And I know a lot of people come to me now because they have some sort of health condition and they're looking for the answer. Like, just if I can get the right answer, the one thing that's wrong with me, then I can fix it. And I've learned through my own experience, it's a lot of different factors, actually, that by the time we get these communications and symptoms and signals, there's probably more than one imbalance going on. And again, this emotional piece is even probably missing from the equation completely. Is an opportunity to take a look at whatever emotions might be triggering some of these stress responses as well. But
yeah,
right.
So true.
But it sounds like maybe what somebody could do is when we maybe get some bad news or we're experiencing symptoms and there's an automatic fear response, oh my God, something's wrong, then an exercise might be, we want to look at these different, and you could talk about those as far as things that tend to cause inflammation more on the physical side. But then maybe while we're going through this experience, even though it may be a little bit scary, what practices could we add in to settle the body down, to feel some joy, to feel like gratitude practices, for example, maybe short meditations or something, but just to calm the nervous system and to raise the frequency as while trying to get answers and doing the work and trying to, reverse some of the imbalances. Would you agree?
100%. It is a holistic approach, which means looking at the whole. And for some people, it might be just taking out one thing. But some people who watch my video on YouTube, for example, they just take out gluten. They're like, oh my God, my eczema's gone. Thank you so much. Or they take out dairy. Oh my God, my eczema's gone. So for some people, it can be that simple. Normally, it requires a few more things. So yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. Really taking time out to check in and start to bring yourself into a state of appreciation as much as we can. Because if we live in a state of appreciation all day, every day, understanding that life is there for us, it's not happening to us, it's happening for us, and this kind of stuff. And there's some really powerful ways of adjusting our mindset. It just takes a little bit of creativity sometimes. We're not taught this stuff in school. We're not taught this stuff at university. Our parents weren't taught this stuff. So we've got to learn it. Like I said earlier, I've invested a lot of money in learning this stuff. And it's really powerful. And yeah, I think that's really a great thing to
put the word, for example, awareness into this, because I know with a lot of the work that I'm doing right now, it's really just becoming more aware, present and aware, to be able to, I don't know, spend time with myself and awareness. Like, where are these breakdowns? If it comes out with like shingles or health and like what imbalances or breakdowns are happening, but pausing and taking time to work backwards and just looking, okay, what are these recurrent breakdowns or issues that keep popping up? And I reverse engineer that a little bit to look at like I said, this place of awareness versus reactiveness versus this, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And just like, no, let's pause. Let's slow things down a little bit. And let's just become aware. What am I doing in my life in a patterned, habitual, unconscious way that I'm not even aware of that's causing these outcomes that I don't want? And looking at, again, just the source of you know, maybe not the very beginning source, but different sources to start working backwards as a practice of awareness. And I'd say awareness, and you mentioned the word frequency. So would you talk to both of those?
Oh, yeah, sure. Awareness is like step one. And the more aware that we can become of what might be causing imbalance in our lives emotionally, the more we can start to address those things. And if we don't really take time out to think about this and take journals and really start focusing, giving yourself you time, like Christina time, meal time, unless you do that, it's hard to actually figure out what's going on. And it's very easy in our age of hyper distraction to kind of go to the TV and just distract yourself, or pour yourself a glass of wine, just bury it. But it that doesn't help our psychology. So I think awareness is number one, because then once you have awareness, you can start figuring out how to solve the different problems. And it always requires some kind of change. But yeah, awareness is number one, and it's going to shift addressing the frequency part. Every emotion of ours contains a frequency. It comes with a frequency. And we start to shift. We start to raise our vibrations as we become more aware. And as we begin to make changes, we can start to shift our vibrations and live a much more fulfilling life of joy. But yeah, it starts with awareness, and it starts with turning off the TV. It starts with turning off the news. I'm going to ban my kids from watching that. To a degree. I don't have any kids. It's just something I feel quite strongly about, knowing what goes on. So understand where we might be distracting ourselves, become more aware, figure out how to make some changes, and then make the changes, and then we just slowly start shifting.
Yeah, maybe inventory of where our emotional state is most often. And yeah. Great place to start with some awareness, because I think what we're both saying and what we both believe to be true is the emotional energy is far more important and consequential and has a lot more influence over these downstream symptoms or experiences that we're having. And we're just not going that deep.
Yeah, totally. The more in touch we can get with that stuff, the better. It's huge. It's huge.
So I think we're really probably the message that you're leaving everyone with is the idea that we can heal ourselves in so much of this, and we can increase our immune system. We can improve it. And so much of that is based on our emotions and our psychology. And these are things that are just not being talked about as far as the healing process. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that?
That's a brilliant summary. I think I love the idea of knowing that our body's ability to heal is greater than anyone has allowed us to believe. And I've got a podcast when I'm interviewing all these people who have healed themselves of like advanced stages of like multiple sclerosis or chronic pain, fibromyalgia, various forms of cancer. And every one of them went on their own healing journey. They had to turn their back on Western medicine because the Western medicine wasn't serving them. And again, we just need to be aware. It's not to discredit people. It's just that we, the end user, are aware of this. They mask symptoms. They allow the root cause to worsen. In most cases, they can cause further harm, further toxicity. It's why we live in a pill-for-pill society when we grow older and on all these drugs. But just understanding that the body is so powerful, and it's an immensely powerful self-healing machine when we give it what it needs, when we pay attention to it, when we give it some love, self-care, thinking about what we're eating, thinking about moving it. I went to the Truth About Cancer Live Symposium a few years ago, and there was one pioneer, I call them pioneers because they're really changing things. He said he's treated tons of cancer patients, really advanced stages of cancer. He said the number one reason for most chronic disease is the under oxygenation of cells. So it's like sedentary lives. It's not moving. It's not getting enough oxygen pumping around our body, our river of life, the bloodstream, which I thought was fascinating. So yeah, understanding what we're eating, how we're moving, you know, looking after the lymphatic system, getting rid of all the dead cells, the cancer cells, all that kind of stuff, just expel it. We need to get rid of it. And that really only works when we're when we're active. It works most effectively when we're active because the lymphatic system doesn't have a pump like the blood circulatory system that has the heart pumping around blood all day, every day, all by itself. The lymphatic system, the waste disposal part of the immune system, doesn't have it. So we need to be active to get that working effectively. And the body temperature needs to rise a bit. So when we're eating the right things, we're moving, and then we're thinking about our emotional state, we're reducing stress and really getting way more present and mindful and really understand like awareness of what we were talking about earlier. We can heal ourselves pretty fast, I believe. And that's my experience working with people and also interviewing people who have done this themselves.
So it sounds like that's really, when you're working with people, have you noticed, like, do you have a code for this? Is there a protocol, for example, that you would suggest if you're having, you know, here's a laundry list of different health issues, but while you're looking at those, here's different places to get started. These are things to start doing now or things to start really uncovering as far as so that you can get your immune system healthier so that you can start this healing process and reduce inflammation. Like what are you saying recurrently, regularly to, you know, if you were to look at 80% of the time out of 100% of the time of my cases, this 80% is what I'm saying over and over and over again.
It's looking at the body as a whole. It's looking at the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. So it used to be nutrition, lifestyle, psychology. I've now kind of moved on to physical, mental, and spiritual. And I don't mean spiritual as in religion. I'm talking about getting really tuned into your heart, the true essence of who you are, your vision, your life, that kind of stuff. And in terms of a code, in my inflammation solution program, I have 12 pillars of no inflammation, which is like obviously a made up word. But I guide people through 12 different areas to look into to get rid of inflammation in the body. So, and it's crossing, you know, different areas, those three pillars. So it's what we're eating, how we're moving, how we're managing emotions, and then all the different facets that fall into that. So maybe I should create a simpler code like you've done. But that's really it. I mean, it's when I work with people on the program, they do have that kind of laundry list of what they can go through to think about what's potentially causing toxins. And it's not, you know, it's not just what we eat. It might be what's already in there. There might be a pathogen or virus or fungi or something. Candida is a big one. It's looking at the environmental toxins. It's looking, if you, EMS, for example, that I'm sure you know a lot about, electricity, Wi-Fi, 5G is going to cause a lot of problems. When we think of our body as a vibrational, electrical vibrational machine, like every single cell is vibrating and it's electrical, the EMFs are the real thing. It's why people in the biohacking space are creating all these devices to protect us from these EMFs, like our friend Brian, sauna space. So we need to look at the environmental factors and then our emotions and collectively kind of figure it out holistically and just find people who are really good at it. Find people who have done something similar. I always recommend this book for anyone with cancer. It's called Radical Remission. And Dr. Kelly Turner interviewed 250 people about what it took for them to radically reverse advanced cancers. And she came up with 9 different headings. And, you know, if I were to be diagnosed with cancer, that's the first thing the second thing I'd do. I've already watched the Truth About Cancer series several times. I'd also I'd read that book, find out what other people have done, and do the same thing, you know, and just see what other people have done. Seek people who can help.
Yes, and I read that book when my dad was diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a beautiful read. One final thing, just to maybe close up this part of the conversation, is this sounds great. I mean, it's almost common sense in a way when you think about it. I mean, I think if anybody's thinking about this for the first time, it's okay, that makes a lot of sense. There's the other part though, is the practical piece. And it's more how to, because we're in these lives where we're so distracted and busy and crazy and going from this to that and distracted by the news, like you said, distracted by social media. Comparing, you know, the comparison syndrome that happens on social, for example. So any advice that you have there, like practically, how do people get out of this crazy rat race and that we're being pulled into every day in order to be able to pause? I mean, I hear that so often, like I just don't have time to meditate. I don't have time for the self-care. I don't have the money for these things. So, I mean, what do you say to that?
The first thing that comes to mind, which isn't always practical, is if you're doing something on a day-to-day basis, change. We're living in a world of opportunity now. Anyone can set up an online business and start a business from home. You can do it from anywhere in the world. Okay, that's not going to be practical for everyone, especially with families. But if you're trying to incorporate it into an already busy, hectic schedule, which is quite normal if you're in London, which is where I used to work, I think it's making time out for yourself, creating the time for yourself, like honoring that time, because that's where we don't really honor ourselves. And when we give that time, even if it's, if you start off with 5 minutes of gratitude every morning and five minutes before bed gratitude, it's something, and it's so powerful. And just really get into that state of appreciation as much as we can. And knowing that, you know, we do live in this age of hyper distraction. We're constantly connected to our phones. We're constantly connected to devices. And there's this meme I heard recently that Steve Jobs has done such a great job at connecting us that we've become disconnected. So we need to disconnect from our phones, our devices. We need to get into nature. We need to be present with friends, family, and go back to basics, as it were, because that's what helps the body to thrive. We can't thrive if we're constantly connected to a phone. We couldn't be less present if we're connected to a phone all the time. So I think there's a huge amount of value to just be disconnected as much as we can. And okay, if we're working at a computer desk all day long, we need to kind of plan breaks. We need to plan time out. We have to plan for little breaks so we can give ourselves that time. Corporations now are doing meditations. I went to London and they're planning in meditation over lunchtime. There's a shift in consciousness now. People are understanding the power of meditation and just calming down the mind. We can do all sorts of things like this in the day to really give our bodies what it deserves.
Yeah, and when you say that, it makes me think, Neil, that the word connection, in fact, I just did a podcast with a relationship expert last week, and he said the biggest breakdown that couples are experiencing today is they feel disconnected. They're not connecting. And connecting, everybody's in these distracted lives and too busy lives. So they're not loving each other as a verb. They're not connecting. They're not having real conversations. They're busy, and then they go to bed and they do that day after day. And he said, and that's the tragedy. Like the couples aren't connecting in the same house under the same roof and they can't connect. And what I hear you saying also, it's disconnecting from maybe these things, but maybe even how about connecting to ourselves? How about connecting to love? How about connecting to gratitude? How about connecting to those that we love and have more conversations like this? Because this is where the meaning, the joy, and the love, and the feeling of love, and the giving love happens. Yet we're distracting ourselves with these devices. And like you said, we're connecting to those versus connecting to the heart. To the heart, spending connecting time with ourselves is connecting to our heart. Connecting with you here. I feel you. I mean, I love you as a human being and friendship. And there's this connection coming that is, I mean, it fills me up. As opposed to that, I don't get to fill up when I'm on social media. Usually I feel worse about myself because I'm looking at everything that everyone else has it better than I have. And so I'm feeling worse about myself versus in this case, I feel great. You fill me up. So I think it's just more for us all to think about as we're in this world, like how do we bring more time back to self so that the body can thrive, so that we can feel more joy and happiness.
Yeah, I really agree with that. Really agree with that. It's so important. And by the way, I love you too. Thank you for saying that. It's been a really lovely conversation. I love all the times we connect. So yeah, when we bring back some self-love, some time for self-love and connection and that kind of stuff, it's so powerful. And something I love to know is that we can't get into a state of flow, which is like one of the peak ways to live every single day. It's physically impossible to get into that if we're multitasking with all these devices. And that's where we should be spending most of our time. So if we can disconnect, like we can plan the multitasking. It's like scheduled multitasking. That's one idea that I learned from Tim Ferriss actually, like 7 or 8 years ago. We can schedule the multitasking and then get into flow the rest of the day. But yeah, coming back to what you're saying about connection with family, with, you know, partners, and I think it's so important. And we need to just put our phones away and disconnect and be present with people. Something I love about being here in Brazil, I don't get internet anywhere except for my apartment or in a restaurant maybe. And I'm just disconnected the whole time. It's amazing. And I'm out in the water for hours, disconnected, and I'm fully recharged afterwards. So it's obviously a few things happening there. It's the water, it's the ocean, but there's also being disconnected. It's so powerful.
In the presence of Mother Nature many times. All right, well, yeah. Questions. And one question is as you know, I'm a money and wealth coach and consultant. And in the terms of money, where do you fit money into your conversation, and not conversation you're having with others, but into your own awareness, into your own health story, for example, the life fulfillment story? And because I have a belief in the same, and a belief, and I teach this, that to build wealth, for example, financial wealth, you're saying to build health wealth, this emotional piece, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our situation is so important. And there's a vibration that comes with that. I believe and say the same thing with money, that when we have negative connotations with money, if we feel we don't have any power, control, or any influence, or that it is, you know, what you're saying, health is abundant. I say money is abundant. And I say the same thing that our beliefs and our emotions, if they're negative, if they are low vibration, that impedes our ability to build that wealth that we're working so hard for. So we have to change some of that self-talk and those beliefs, where money can be a very positive thing in our lives, and it can serve a big part of health, for example. So do you have any thoughts on that, on the money piece?
I'm so with you on that. If you're stressed all the time, that can prevent it coming in. And I think making money doing what you love is the optimal way of earning a living. And I've kind of studied all this stuff, this health stuff, got my own solution. I've realized my dad's challenge came from problems. So it's basically solving problems and helping people solve their problems and aiming to make money by adding value, creating value, solving problems, rather than the old system of going to work and just working 9 to 5. But I think it's probably not quite what you're asking. But I think when we are in a higher vibrational state with health, I think that totally switches us on to new opportunities, maybe entrepreneurial opportunities, you know, starting your own business, same thing, different words. But really thinking about what we can offer the world, how we can create change and opportunity for other people, with which we can be compensated and earn a living doing something that's really worthwhile and conscious and cool. And that all comes with vitality, I believe. If we're just kind of disconnected with low level of health, you know, being creative is probably the last thing you want to be thinking about. But when you're in the full state of health and vitality, we start being courageous and think about stuff in a more optimistic and positive kind of way, I think.
Absolutely.
So there's a huge impact on money. Yeah.
So one more question that I ask all of my guests, and it's just to do a little myth busting. So in your work and what you're doing now, what would you say a myth you're bumping up against all the time that you would like to bust?
Ooh, interesting. So I guess if someone, what's the biggest one? There's so many. Cholesterol is a big one. The idea of low calorie to lose weight, that's a big one. We don't need to do that. Calorie counting for losing weight, that's a big one. We don't need to do that. All the pain to lose weight, we don't need to do that. It doesn't have to be painful to heal the body. You've really put me on the spot now. What's the biggest myth? The biggest myth is that long-term use of drugs helps you, because it doesn't. It doesn't. It just makes things worse, and you just deteriorate over time, and it affects the gut, it affects the brain, it affects your essence, your vitality, it affects the way your brain functions. There's all these studies now showing how drugs are really harming the gut, and then because it harms the gut, it harms the brain. So Parkinson and Alzheimer's and stuff. So the biggest myth is that long-term use of drugs helps the body to heal and it helps you to really live. But the way I see it is they help you to survive. They allow you to survive. You're just like going along at like a steady pace. They don't allow you to thrive. So when we can take full kind of responsibility for our own health and really enjoy the whole healing journey, that's when kind of amazing things happen, I think. And really, yeah, knowing that the body can heal. The body is always trying to heal. Every single muscle, every single bone, every single organ, everything in the body is designed to heal given the right environment. So it's just up to us to create the right environment within the body to allow the body to do what it is ultimately designed to do. So well, then we just have to figure out how to do that. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a perfect place to complete. Neil, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for calling in from Brazil and interrupting a little bit of your kite surfing to be with us here today.
Thank you so much, Christina. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to be on your podcast. Thank you.
My pleasure.
If you're inspired by today's show and you would like to learn more about My Money Coaching, here's what I need you to do. Head over to Christina.com/call. That's KRISSTINA.com/call and book an appointment to speak with me. In less than 30 minutes, we will get absolutely clear on why you're not earning enough no matter how hard you work, why you can never get ahead no matter how much you earn, and what you need to know in order to finally have the time and money freedom you're working so hard for. Remember, you're not alone. 95% of Americans are one life event away from financial crisis. I will be the first person to teach you why this is the case and how to be in the other 5% that has no fear around money. No one can do this alone. You need expert help. I've helped everyone from modest earning professionals to those earning 8 figures per year get off the financial hamster wheel and finally win the money game. I look forward to helping you too. Head over to Christina.com/call and book your call with me today. I'm Christina Wise. Thank you for spending your valuable attention with me today. We will meet again soon.